Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Special part one of two-part end of the year episode, as we do over here every year at Everyone's Business But Mine. I'm bringing you the best and brightest, my dear friends in the podcasting and creative space, and your friends as well. I would encourage you guys to check out the episode description because it has links to everybody who's included in this episode's social. So check them out, follow them, and you know, I guess we should move on with the show. Well, before that, you guys, I get a little weepy, a little sentimental at the end of the year. And I think about, like, you know, like we all do, just reflecting on the past. And, you know, this year was, like, really tough for me in a lot of ways, but, like, tough in a way that I know I'm preparing for something greater. So I'm actually ending this year out, like, really excited for the new year and all the great things that I know are gonna come. And I hope you guys are feeling even, like, half as hopeful as I am, because it feels good. It feels really, really good. And I just want to also extend all of my, of course, appreciation for you guys for listening, for saying nice things to me, taking time out of your day to, like, DM me and tell me that you like me and that you listen to me all the time, and that, like, you know, the 5-star reviews and the Patreon subscribers, like, all of you guys are incredibly, like, you guys are my life's blood. Like, I rely on this income to live, and I don't take that lightly. I really, really appreciate you guys, and not on some, like, fake Ellen DeGeneres shit, like, on some real shit, where I, like, genuinely appreciate you guys. So don't think that you're underappreciated or not appreciated at all, because, like, I really think very frequently, like, I'm so lucky. Like, I'm so, so lucky. And it's all because of you. Like, people say shit and I roll my eyes and it sounds so corny, but, like, I actually believe it. Don't believe anybody else. I am being serious, okay? So with that, you guys, thank you. Like, for real, thank you guys so much for listening. I'm going to thank myself for speaking, and we'll move on with the show. Happy holiday.
She's here.
She speaks. Hello, Emily. How are you?
Hi, she speaks. She's here, she speaks. That's how I'm gonna do my intro from now on, like on all my episodes. She's here, she speaks. That's
Thank you for wearing the Santa hat. This is going to be coming out on Christmas Day. So hit me, baby. What are you going to be leaving or keeping in 2023?
Okay, I'm leaving the Roman Empire
Oh,
thing,
yes.
because people still keep saying this is my Roman Empire, and it's whatever it is, and I'm like, all right, like not everything can be the Roman Empire.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't come to a consensus on what that really means. And so
Means.
everybody's just like, well, I remembered something, so it's my Roman Empire.
That's exactly it. There's no parameters. It's just there's just willy-nilly whenever you feel like throwing it in there.
Yeah, I like rules and guidelines.
I love them.
And I feel like people are just like being very willy-nilly and very just like footloose and fancy free. And I just feel like that's not how it goes. It's not how
That's not fair.
it works.
That's not good. I also want to leave something else though.
Oh, yes, please.
There's been a real surgence of making fun of millennials on TikTok. And I would like that to stop. We've been through enough, okay?
I agree. I feel like, okay, I can try to work myself out of a skinny jean if I have to, okay? But then I saw something about how we can't do an almond-shaped nail anymore. And
Excuse
I
me?
said, no, I'm not doing this.
Listen, they can't take everything from us, okay?
It's ridiculous.
Like the side sweat part, like I had no idea that I was like out of it. When I went to the photo, when I had my photo shoot, she said, "Where do you part your hair?" And as I was about to answer, I was like, "Wait, is this gonna like give away everything?" I was like, kind of on the side. And she was like, it's okay that you part it on the side. I'm like, okay. I
They
had no
sent you to the
idea.
firing squad, yeah.
They did. So I would like us to stop making fun of millennials. We already were made fun of by boomers. Like, we don't need to be made fun of by the people younger than us.
Yeah, I feel like also like Gen X is really like skipping. I feel like we skip Gen X, and that's really the real issue for me because I feel like I'm still young. I'm not even 40 yet. Like, can you just let me cook? Like, I'm not even old enough to be corny.
Thank you. That's
I'm a
not
baby.
fair.
I'm a literal child.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm already being told I'm old and tired, and that is just not the case.
And I certainly don't want to hear it from a bunch of 20-year-olds who look older than me, okay? If we're
Tell me
really going
about
to get into
it.
it.
It's also not fair because they were like born with the technology in their hands, so they have an unfair playing field advantage.
Yeah. And you know what? I think it's not great. I'm gonna invoke a name. And I know that people get sensitive about it, but here's the thing. Gia Giudice. I was looking at a pictures of her at a photo shoot, and I thought she looks so like she really got trapped in that look, that like Jenner-dashian look. And I'm seeing these pictures now, and I'm thinking, you look dated. And
Ooh.
it's confusing to me.
You're right, though. That actually is kind of becoming dated, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't even think of that. But no, it is like that whole kind of cookie cutter Kardashian. Like everyone went to their surgeon and was like, do this to me. And then they have all these filters that make them look like a Kardashian. Holy
Yeah.
shit, I
Filled
didn't even realize
their
that.
precious little faces up. Their little cherubic like faces up. And now what are you gonna do? So you know what? You guys have bigger fish to fry than us.
Yeah, you know
Okay.
what? Yeah. So it's not so bad for us. All right. Can't wait for the next generation to make fun of you guys.
Hello, hello. Somebody tried to say the other day that Kurt Cobain is a millennial thing, and I had to say, I was 8 when that man died. May he rest. I don't know that. That's not right. That's
There
not right.
is
It's
some
not.
debate over what the millennial time like period is.
Yeah.
I know that I'm an elder millennial, and I feel like maybe I could even go Gen X, but I think there's a big debate on it. But like I agree. Sometimes when people say to me they're millennials, I'm like, well, then what am I?
Right.
So what is it?
What is the age range? I feel like it's this huge, like, because like I'm almost 40. Okay. So if I'm almost 40 and someone who's turning 30 is saying that they are a millennial, I'm like, oh, well then what is it?
Yeah. I'm confused too. I feel like I'm pretty solidly, definitively a millennial. And I, because I'm 86 and I just feel like that's
millennial. We're millennial.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're also literally children. So I don't know what these people are like talking about. I never do. I really never do.
I know. And that's what's scary is that makes us sound old. I never know what these kids are talking about. I feel old whenever I listen to like current music. Cause I'm like if I listen to hip hop now, I'm like, see, this isn't like the old school hip hop was just the best music. Like I'm that lady.
You know, what is the Gen Z thing that really bothers me is the way you guys, way they do the heart.
What is that?
it doesn't even, it's not even natural. Like, I don't
my friend Pia had to send me a video of it. And it's like, what? So why not just do, and why, like, don't make gang signs for hearts.
It's literally a gang sign. Like, and I don't understand why, if you want to just join, we just do half and half. It's so much easier.
Why did you do that to me?
Why do you have to make things so complicated?
That was completely, that is an unnecessary thing to do. So let's end that also.
I agree. Let's just end Gen Z until we can figure this all out. Okay.
You guys are on hold until we can get it.
I'm totally with you. I mean, not to like throw the Gen Xers under the bus, but I do feel like they're really like, I feel like we're catching a lot of strays on their behalf, and I don't think that's fair.
That's exactly what's happening. Yeah. Fuck these people, man. I'm just kidding.
I'm not. So for those of people who want to carry the Roman Empire thing into 2024, can we just come up with like a concrete definition? If you're going to use it, can we use it correctly? Because what is your definition of a Roman Empire?
Okay, so this is, it started with this trend, right? Where like a woman would ask their boyfriend, how often do you think about the Roman Empire?
Right.
And for some reason, all these men were like, I don't know, like twice a week. And it's like, what? Why the Roman Empire?
Right.
So is it this historical, is it a historical thing that you think about often? Is that what it is?
That's what I feel like the guidelines should be. It shouldn't be, and it has to be something that like really sat with you and that like really like informs your life in a way that people don't expect.
And also it needs to have taken place a little bit longer ago.
Yeah.
You know, like when
Roman Empire can't be anything with Travis and Taylor. It's too soon. Nothing.
That's what I'm saying. And that's what people keep saying to like stuff like that. I'm like, I don't think that's what this is. I think it's supposed to be this like weird historical thing from a while ago. Like I don't mind if it's a pop culture thing, but it has to be at least from the early 2000s.
Yeah, like my Roman Empire would be, you know, Audrina's mom drunk outside of like Ledoux talking about my baby's going to be so good on Dancing with the Stars and then nobody's going to tell me anyway. Just shut up. Okay. That's my Roman Empire.
I need to come up with mine. My Roman Empire. See, like I never can think of things on the spot, but there's things I think about Will and Grace all the time. Yeah. And I feel like that's historical. Like I'm always thinking of what Karen Walker has said throughout the years.
Jack's Cher impression.
Jack's Cher impression. All the time. Does that count? That's history. That was like the first time we like embraced having gay people on our screens. We were like, oh God, all these gays are just like Jack, you know, that kind of shit.
I think that counts.
Okay. That's my Roman Empire. Will and Grace, 1998 version.
Yeah. You have to do the OG, not the reboot.
That reboot really haunts me. Okay. That reboot. Okay. I get that they did like a sketch like during the Trump thing and everyone was like, oh my God, let's totally get them back together. I immediately was like, do not do it, you guys. It's not a good idea. It's one thing to do a little sketch. It's another thing to create a whole entire show and y'all look different and act different and it doesn't feel right.
And you know, that could really be another thing is like, we don't need a reunion. I don't need a 90s reunion. I don't need the band getting back together to talk about old times. I'm fine. I'm fine.
Definitely no more reboots of shows just because people are nostalgic and like think that that's what they want because it
Right.
always feels weird.
Very and clunky, and I don't like
Clunky.
it.
Because it's like what made it work is that they were all big at that time and like created this world together. They've all gone off. They've all lived very different lives. And you're like trying to bring them back, and they're not really the characters. They're just the actors that play them. And then that becomes very apparent.
Right. It feels like you're talking about Anne just like that.
Yes.
This felt very coded, and I could tell.
But the thing about it just like that is it's so bad it's good.
It really is. It
I
really
can't,
like
like, I don't want it to ever get better.
no. Like I'm
Never.
actually happy in the like pig pen with them. Like when I found out that they weren't coming back until 2025, I was like, oh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, blame the writer's strike and the actor's
Oh,
strike.
damn. Because I really did love covering it just like that
It's so
because
fun.
it's just such a ridiculous experience. And so when you talk, when like when you're taking notes on it, I'm like the quotes I'm quoting, I'm like, this is just insanity. This writing and everything about it, the acting. So that bums me out because I really love hate watching and just like that.
I know. I feel like next year is going to be dark times because of that writer's
Oh,
strike.
that's a good point.
Yeah, it's going
I
to be rough for
forgot
us. It
because
really is.
it takes so long to make the show, then edit the show and all that stuff. So it's not like The Bear.
Right.
Oh, I'm really bummed about that. Is that going to be, please that let that be in 2024 at least.
You know what? I'm saving the bear for when I take these 2 weeks off at the end of the year to like finally watch, because I only watched like one episode and I was like, I'm not into this, but I also like
Ah.
I wasn't in a headspace to like get into a new show. So
You
I'm
know what?
saving it.
I get that because I did the same thing with The Bear. When someone told me to watch it and I was like, "Okay," and I started it and felt the same way. I was like, "I just need to be in a mood for this." And I do find with The Bear that they actually created some very unlikable characters that take a minute to warm up to. So you even need to like go to like at least episode four.
Okay.
And that's
I can
kind
do
of a
that.
lot. That's a lot when you're not in the mood. Like when you're like, I can't do this. You have to
Yeah.
be in the mood for that.
Okay. What kind of mood does one need to be in to watch the bear? Like, do I need to be in a place of yes, chef? Chaos
That would help.
is moving quickly. Okay.
It definitely would help to be in a place of yes, chef.
Okay.
It also like I had been in the restaurant industry for so like a decade, and so I'd gotten out of the restaurant industry, so I had to be far enough removed from it in order to find it entertaining, because at
Sure.
first it was like just triggering. Like I was like,
Yeah.
oh, shut up. So I would say in a mood for dysfunction and
Okay.
like very dysfunctional communication,
Okay.
but this like understanding that it will get like so much better. Like the season two, the way they arc in season two is incredible.
Perfect.
Season two
And
is amazing.
I see Io and I'm like, I know that I would love her. I see it in her face that I would stan her, but I haven't really gotten there yet. But I'm excited for that journey.
But see, that's also part of it too. Like they made these characters like very difficult to like, which is a hard thing to do
Yeah.
when you're watching a show. But then once you get into it, because like I'm a binger, so like I prefer like watching, you know, if I can, I want to watch like 7 episodes minimum.
Exactly.
And so once you get, you know, like once you get into the environment and like the world of it, like then you're
Yeah.
in it, and then you're
That's where
like,
I need to
then
be.
you're on, exactly. That's why I love binging, because suddenly it becomes your whole personality.
Right.
You know what I
Right.
mean? You start
Yeah.
saying yes, chef, and like you start, it's like you get, you know what I mean? So once you're there with her, because her character is rough at first, but
Okay.
then you get it. Like then you're like, oh, okay.
Okay. Well, I love that.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
love that.
The payoff is so worth it.
Oh, good. That really excites me.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad to end on a high note. Thank you so much and happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy New Year. All of that.
All of it. Let's
Have
do
a sprinkle
2024
cookie, have a
right.
cannoli cookie, the whole thing.
I'll have all the cookies.
Bye, Emily. Talk soon.
Bye.
Hi, Gibson.
Hey, how are you? Good to be back.
I'm great to be done with this year. So, what do you got for me, Gibson? What are you keeping in 2023?
I'm keeping Scandival in 2023.
Okay, bold.
So it was obviously the biggest reality TV story, arguably one of the biggest pop culture stories of the year. But when that happens, obviously everybody who can milks it for what it's worth. And I think that it's been milked pretty dry at this point. And I know that's it's rich coming from somebody who is, vocally excited for the next season of Vanderpump Rules. But I'm cautiously optimistic because I'm scared that it's going to be too much about Scandival. So yeah, that's what I'm leaving in 2023. I'm my interest is really waning in that story.
Yeah, I definitely feel you on that. I want to know if you feel the way I feel, which is that I think we're almost screwed next season because I feel like there's no way that the audience at large is going to be happy. Like there's nothing that they can do to satisfy them, and I'm bracing myself already.
No, I totally agree. I think it's kind of a monster of their own making at this point because it's like they, Bravo, the people on this show, the people around the show have built it up into this just like monster moment. And, when you're at such a high for a show that has been at such a low, it went from such a low to such a high, but there's obviously only one way to go. And I'm hoping they don't go fully down. Like I hope that they find some sort of happy medium where like we can excavate like sort of what that world looks like for Ariana and Tom as they navigate this group and who's allowed to hang out with who and all that. Like I actually find some of that to be kind of interesting, but I would like the focus to be more on those interpersonal dynamics and maybe what it says about their friendships, kind of more higher level versus like, you can't hang out with him because he did this. Like, I want it to be more about like, okay, like, does she always kind of find herself in the middle? Like, what does that mean for her? So I hope that it's not too minutia based because I really think that there is a lack. I think that the interest is really waning. And I also, what one thing I'm actually interested in, because I think that, I mean, you and I are so online, we're so extremely online. Like, we know we're so tapped into what the conversation is on social media around these shows, but like, one thing that Scandival did was that it brought a lot of people either who had previously been in the fold and left in terms of viewing Vanderpump Rules and Bravo at large, but it also brought in a lot of new people. And I think that those people aren't as touchy in terms of like what they're satisfied with. So they might be totally down for a huge season of Vanderpump Rules that's about the
Fingers
aftermath of
crossed.
Scandival. But I personally don't really want that.
Fair enough. Are you excited about the spin-off that we're getting? Apparently in April, allegedly.
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, like, did I love Kristen's moment on the finale last year and like the slides, showing the slides and then her showing up to Ariana's to do some sort of like, wasn't they burned some pieces of paper or something like that? I liked that. I liked that we saw her. And you know what? I'm intrigued to see what Kristen has in store for us. But like,
Always.
I when that news first broke that they were doing that. It's again, it's one of those things where it's like there was such an interest, in March, April, May, June that it made sense, right? But it takes obviously, 6 to 8 months to turn 6 to 10 months probably to turn something like that around. And then by April, we're going to be deep into the season of Vanderpump Rules. Are we interested in what Kristen and Jax and Brittany were doing last summer? I don't know.
No.
I kind of think that they. My inclination about that whole situation is that they really were banking on getting Stassi. That's what I kind of think was the kind of missing piece there. Because honestly, I would be interested in what Stassi was doing. I think that like, obviously, I don't. Do I support her coming back or not? Like, that's a whole other question. But in terms of like, if they had decided to bring her back and gotten cameras to follow her around, I would have been interested to see that. Just because, she's a compelling personality, but.
It would have at least made more sense because we know that like Jax and Brittany are now doing the like family, we've got kids things, and that would be like another connection where like Stassi's
Right.
doing the same thing. But now I just feel like it's like a mixed bag. Like whatever is going on in Kristen's life is vastly different from what Jax is doing. So I'm not seeing the connective tissue.
I agree. And there's a weird gray area I think that's going to happen of like, I bet you will see like Sheena and Lala bringing their kids around to have like play dates with Jack and Braxton Brittany, which is fun. Like that's a side that we don't really see on Vanderpump Rules that often, I guess, because the focus is so on the friend group and those different dynamics. But like play dates, I don't know if that makes an interesting reality show. I'm open to being pleasantly surprised, but I do think that I think that in the aftermath of Scandoval, Jack's kind of jumped on that coattail and tried to convince us that he was a change. He rode that coattail. He was weighing it down. And I think that he tried to go on this like press tour where he convinced us that he's like a really changed man. But I think as we saw,
because I felt like he went to Reddit and was like, I'm going to look at all of the comments of people who are like making sense and saying like things that are going to make me look better. And he just like aggregated all of that and just like repeated it on interview after interview after interview.
Yeah, no, it's almost like he like went to chat DBT and was just like, give me some talking points. Literally. No, you're so right. And like, you know, for half a second, I was like, okay, maybe he has matured. I think there was like one Watch What Happens Live that he was on towards the end of that season. I was like, okay, he does seem better, but am I convinced? No. And then I watched The House of Villains and he's the first one voted out. And he's like, this is his same old self. And I'm just sort of like, I'm good.
So good. I'm a nice guy himself right into House of Villains. How did that happen? How does that work?
Makes you think.
It really does.
Do you feel the same about Scandoval? Are you as exhausted by it as I am?
I'm exhausted more by like the cottage industry that was built by this and the like people not giving them a break and just letting them film the following season. Like, we've seen everything. Here they are. Here's Sheena screaming at Tom somewhere. It's like everybody was out in West Hollywood, like reporting everything that they could possibly see. And I really feel like that is what's going to ruin it, because everybody already knows what's going to happen, where they're going to be, who's fighting who, like whatever. And I just, like I said, I just feel like there's no way for people to be satisfied. And that's what's going to take the joy out of it for me. I always have fun. You know, I'm always giggling. So
no, just totally same. But I think that that's something that I have hated about some of the Housewives seasons in recent years, is like this sort of like on the ground Dumois inspired reporting that I think really hurts. I agree. I think I don't want to know what outfits they're all wearing on all the trips. I don't want to see, you know, all those details. And like, obviously you only see so much, but like, I think Salt Lake City this current season is a good example. I don't feel like we saw that much from on the ground. Like, there was some stuff that leaked from the Palm Springs of it all or whatever. But like, overall, I kind of had no idea what to expect from the season of Salt Lake City, because there weren't that many leaks. And I love that about it. Like, I think this is the best season yet. And so I agree that there's too much attention on Vanderpump Rules, and there's too many people who don't actually know what they're talking about trying to capitalize on that show. It's like, it's like you see... This is so specific, but I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but like, you can really tell the people who are really, really new to it and trying to capitalize on social media about it, because they're doing hashtag Vanderpump Rules instead of hashtag Pump Rules.
Right.
And they don't know. They don't know that that's not the hashtag,
baby.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you. It's like, it's not sustainable, and it takes some of the intrigue out of it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, like, to your point about Kristen, I think like what the Housewives gets right is like, we have to treat these old people kind of like a bay leaf. Like, you just put them in and then you take them out. Like, they add the flavor and then you just got to take them out. And we just like, we don't deal with them again, you know?
What a metaphor. That is such a good, I love that. And I think that the franchise that has learned that the best is Beverly Hills.
Agreed.
There's every year, there's one party at Kyle's where we get a Camille, we get an Adrian Maloof. They barely even say two words, but like, it's enough to satisfy. It's enough. There's enough buildup that like the fans are happy. I totally agree. And it just, they're going to learn their lesson, I think, with Vanderpump Rules. And again, maybe the spinoff is going to surprise us. Maybe they found some of their new parent friends who are like really interesting figures. Like, I'll wait and see. I will. Yeah. I will give it a chance. But if Jax is the calling card, I'm not picking up the phone.
I'm not picking up. Well, Gibson, thank you so much. This was a great, well thought out pick. I really
thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to see what everyone else had to say.
Me too.
I was racking my brain.
Well, you were the first one to pick Scandoval, and I have a feeling you might not be the last.
But okay.
Happy holidays to you, and have a happy new year.
You too. Thank you so much for having me, and I hope to be back soon.
Yes, absolutely. Bye.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, guys. Next up is none other than one half of Come Through Queen, Dan. Hello.
Hi. So happy to be back. A year since our last Leave It In 2022. Wow.
Yeah, the chilling reveal that you guys wanted to leave Bethany there, and you guys were absolutely 1,000% correct about that, because what a demon has been unleashed on us over this year.
I almost feel like we made it worse by like wanting her to stay, and she's like, no, I'm going to come to 2023 and be even worse than I've ever been before.
And I am telling you, I'm not going. true disaster. So... you guys have a lot to live up to. What are you guys leaving? What are you leaving in 2023?
Okay. I want to leave Housewives podcasting in 2023.
Wow. Shots fired to Jen and Jackie, Jen Fesla. You hear that?
Yeah. They're the latest. Our two J's of Jersey, I think.
Sure. Whatever.
We kicked off the year, if I need to remind everyone, with Robin and Giselle's Patreon exclusive explaining Robin's marital woes. And from there, like, we've had so many podcasting storylines on the Housewives. I mean, even just like recently, we have Meredith and Seth, we have Larsa and Marcus. Like, everyone is throwing their hat into the podcasting ring, and most of them are not good.
Most of them are not good, and they just seem very short-lived. Like, we're going to get a cute 7 to 12 episodes, and then they're going to forget all about it.
Exactly.
So what's the point?
I do got to give a little credit, though, to 2 D's in a pod, because, like...
I know you do. Give it up.
The fact that they've, like, continued it for so long, and, like, it's so funny that Teddy Joe is now relevant solely because of 2 D's in a pod.
It is hilarious that Teddy Joe's relevant. You're right about that. This is like, very funny.
She's at BravoCon getting into new fights because she's podcasting.
Right. Lord, Teddy Joe. Would you say that 2 T's is maybe the crown jewel of our Housewives podcasts?
So, I mean, I'm not like a consistent listener by any means, but like, I do feel like we'll eventually, we occasionally do get like clips of it posted online that are actually interesting little nuggets that come out of the show. And we're not really getting clips passed around on Twitter or Instagram of like Meredith's podcast, you know?
Because who's listening?
Who's listening?
The podcast we deserve, Mary Cosby's. What happened to that one? That one episode wonder.
That's just for the congregation. That's not for... mass consumption.
That is true. How do you feel about like the other, like, if we're opening up the Bravo verse, we've got Pillows and Beer. I know you don't watch Southern Charm, but Austin and Craig have their own podcast. I guess I don't listen to it, but
yeah
it's a lot.
I mean, we do have a very successful non-housewife Bravo podcast, the Giggly Squad. They chart high.
That is true.
It's kept Hannah relevant to us Bravo watchers, but like apparently she's like very successful outside of the Bravo sphere. I wouldn't know, but like,
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, it's funny. At BravoCon, they were asked who would you want to come back to the Summer House cast? And most of them said Hannah.
Kyle included, which was shocking to me.
I know, after their explosive, like, sort of like father-daughter fight in the backyard.
Right. Well, I mean, with that, we have to brace ourselves for Rachel's what is Rachel Levis's new podcast called? Rachel's Revenge? Oh,
it's Rachel, and I want to say colon going rogue.
Yeah.
and this is a Bethany Frankel production.
Right. In conjunction with iHeart, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen? You could do one prediction for Rachel going rogue. What do you think will be happening?
I imagine, like, with Bethany kind of shepherding her into this podcasting world, like, she probably has a better shot at it than if she was trying to do it solo.
Right.
Because, I mean, Bethany knows how to make waves, so I'm sure she'll, like, be able to produce it. I just don't see, like, what the end goal is, because it seems like she wants to be done with reality television.
You would think.
Yeah.
I think. And yet here she is on iHeartRadio.
Yeah. So, I mean, as much as I'm, like, trying to leave all of it in the past, I don't think there's any stopping it. I think there was a time where Bravo was like, you can't have these podcasts and talk about what's going on in your life because it's, like, ruining the show. And I think they've kind of just given up on trying to enforce that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm nervous. My prediction is that it's going to be like, remember when Danielle Staub vowed that she would never go on New Jersey again, and then every week on Instagram Live she would watch the episodes and, like, share her thoughts?
Yes.
It's not going to be as good as that, because that was, like, deeply unhinged in a very specific Danielle way that we all enjoy.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be a lot like that for Raquel, but it's going to be, you know, Raquel's version, which, you know.
Oh, it didn't even occur to me that she might do, like, a watch along, because it is premiering, like, alongside of the new season of Vanderpump Rules.
Correct.
Huh. Like, the way she theorized about having a podcast while she was on Bethany's was like, it's going to be about wellness and, like, finding your voice and stuff like that. But the easy way to make money would be to just talk about the show.
Absolutely. And nobody wants to hear anything else. And nobody really wants to hear that.
Yeah, I know. That's, like, your best bet, Raquel.
Sing for your supper, because, I mean, this is going to be her last big check. And I hope she does.
Yeah.
I'll be aware of that. Well, I think this is an incredible one. And honestly, I think that a lot of shows, reality or not, we could just pipe down on the celebrities talking about their shows.
All
of them in general. So
please.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Dan. That was a great, great selection.
Thank you, Kara.
And Happy New Year. Merry Christmas to you.
Happy New Year. Happy holidays to everyone. And we'll talk again soon.
Yes. All right, you guys, we got another one. Hello, Chai. Happy
New Year.
Tell everybody what it is you want to leave in 2023.
So, the Brown family.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
I think it's time.
What do you think should happen? You think we should just completely end Sister Wives? Is this what you're saying to me?
At least give it a break. Like, I love this last season. It's been amazing. But I think we're at the place of, like, he's down to one wife. What are we even showing anymore? Also, sure. I kind of just want to see what everyone in the family does without the presence of the TV show.
Okay.
Like, I just want to see what, like, okay, I want Cody and Robin to live in monogamy, even though I'm not fully sure that's what Robin wants.
Okay. See, I really struggle with this, like, what Robin's goal is. I do feel pretty strongly that she enjoys the concept of a plural situation, but not the actual execution of it. But I also don't know if she's, like, fully, like, you know, like a witch just cackling and saying like, oh, my job is complete and I got it. I'm really not sure where I land with what's going on with Robin's square head.
So I don't think that like Robin is the villain that the internet tries to make her out to be. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think the nature of polygamy kind of makes it like everyone is fighting for resources and she won. The thing that's right. insufferable about her is the fact that I think it's, who is it that always says that she's the winner, but like she...
Me.
Acts, yeah, okay, I wanted to make sure. I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but she acts like she's losing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very frustrating.
I think the only reason she like, the sister wives aspect she wants is like, she wanted like free helpers. And I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she never got it, right? Like she came in, she's like, people are supposed to be helping me take care of my children. I'm supposed to have all this excess help. And like, she got none of the benefits of polygamy. Like Janelle, in terms of childcare, she made out like a bandit.
Fully, fully. And I, you know, I agree with you on that. Yeah, I am with you. I feel like Robin comes from a place of, if I'm not completely adored from the second my square toe enters into a room, then I'm the victim. And that's so annoying.
Oh, for sure. Like, okay, so Robin is like incredibly emotionally immature. Like, I think she's incapable of ever being the adult in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me so sad for her children. Like, it's infuriating to watch. Like, the worst part of it is like, I don't necessarily feel like all of her, like a lot of her crying is performative. And that makes me even more mad because I'm like, why is this what you're trying to portray?
Right. Right.
Exactly. Like, keep your shit together. It's like, it's awful for, it's just awful for her children. Like, she's a weepy ass mom raising anxious, weepy ass children.
Fully.
Like, every time we see those kids, I'm just like, this is not fair to them. Like, and you know, she gets them together and she's like, I don't know, the whole family just hates us.
And it's so frustrating because another thing that I find highly annoying about Robin is this idea of like, the kids don't like me. And I'm like, you came into the situation as a whole adult. And even if they're, let's say, six teenagers that don't like you, that's not a reason that you're a victim. That's not how it works.
It's also like, I hate the like adult, like my minor children versus my adult children thing that Cody does. Because it's like, they're always your children and no matter how old they get, like, and how old you are still older than them and you need to still be the parent.
Exactly. So to go back to your original comment, if you were like in the boardroom at TLC, like really storming out, okay, they're saying, Chai, we are going to be doing a next season. So what would be on your wish list for that then?
First off, Janelle. Okay, so I feel like the internet had tried to convince me that Janelle was like Warren Buffett. She was some type of financial genius. And now we're finding out that she's just as dumb as the rest of them. She's made out worse than anyone financially in this.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a pot to piss in. I'd like to see her have to go through like some classes. Like, I want her to be like taking financial literacy classes. Like, to just have been on TV for 18 seasons and have nothing to show for it, like, no. We need to get her some education.
Yeah.
If you want to stay on TV, I want to see
a special episode with Janelle and Susie Orman.
Yes, like really
breaking it down. Okay.
Yes. Okay. And then all tax returns need to be released. I'm trying to see the figures. Okay. Uh-huh. We've been invested for 18 seasons. I need to know what are we discussing here? What are we really looking at?
Agreed. Okay. Okay.
I need to know how much they owe on that field, like that lot, whatever's going on there. I need to know it all. Then, Mary. First off, okay, Mary, I was like started rewatching the catfishing season.
Mm-hmm.
I only made it like a couple episodes in, but that's also the same season where Mary gives up her legal marriage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For the sake of Robin. And I need the next season, Robin needs to be able to, Mary needs to be able to just fight Robin.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think like Mary's really put herself in a, I mean, Mary's always been in the unique position of being the odd person out of this situation. That's clear. But like in terms of filming in the future, Mary, you're gonna have to come up with a better storyline than what the hell's going on with your carriage house renovation, which we never saw, by the way.
Right. No, I want Mary to put on gloves and beat Robin's ass. Like, so, okay, so I was just rewatching the scene where, like, okay, Mary gives up her, like, they get divorced. And then Mary's crying. And, like, she's like, this is a lot more emotional than I thought it would be for me. And then Robin and Cody accost her to try to force her to be present for the wedding. When she's saying she's like, I don't even want to know. I want you guys to just do your thing, and I don't want to know the data because I don't want it to be something that I have to think about.
Right.
And
Oh, which,
Robin's like,
by
no,
the way,
I really
actually.
want you to be involved in it, and like is forcing her, browbeating Mary into feeling guilty so she can be there for Robin.
And I want to interrupt you real quick because I saw a picture of Robin and Cody out, and they were at a restaurant, and I guess somehow the information that they were going to be out on their anniversary or that they were celebrating their anniversary, somehow that information got out. So people are like, oh, that's interesting because y'all got married on the show in May. And remember all those times when they got legally married and they were like assuring everybody, we don't care about
Promising
the
it's not
date.
going to be a date that we celebrate.
Yeah. And what date do you think that they were celebrating, Chai?
Of course, the legal marriage.
So interesting. The date that they were like, oh, we don't care about this at all. Doesn't mean anything. Seems like
And
another one.
after all that, they force Mary to get on board with wanting to be there. Robin forces her, only for then Cody to change his mind and say no, he doesn't want her there anymore. She wants to be there. Like, Robin has been fucking with Mary for years now and just dragging her along so she has someone to like witness her life. Like,
A
it's
thousand
the weirdest
percent.
thing. Like, no, Mary's got to be able to beat Robin's ass. Like, if they don't touch, like, if Mary doesn't touch Robin next season, I'll never watch the show again. She
Want
deserves
Jen to
it.
pull up too while we're at it. Like,
That
let's have a
part, she looks
conversation
like she
with
could fight.
just tie up that hair girl in a ponytail holder. I would love to see a conversation between Jen and Mary about where Mary's feelings are now, since Mary has been swearing up and down that Jen is the only person in this past decade that she truly trusts. Like, okay, well, I want to talk to you to I want to see the conversation between Jen and Mary so that we can really hear the truth about what how Mary feels.
That part.
So, I'm a big fan of Christine's love. But like I don't care about people seeing being in love on television, and like I'll be on the journey. But I guess I'm a little bit confused as to why we're seeing the wedding prior to seeing anything about their relationship building up to the wedding.
I mean, they could just never get the timing of this like shot right. Like, I think we're still in
Yeah.
like 2020. What? They can just never get it. It's like they have prolonged COVID to a level that is like, Jesus, like
Like
I've been watching COVID for 5 years now.
they've barely gotten to the vaccine at this point. Like it's wild, wild
And
behavior.
that's another thing is I want everyone to be sat down and we need to discuss the vaccine. We made all these like big rules about like the protocols, and like you used it as an excuse to break up your family, Cody. Now I want everyone to sit down and tell me like who got vaccinated and who did it.
Right, exactly.
Who's still dead naming Leon? I want to know everything.
Yeah. I want to know where Leon lies in this whole situation. Like, how on the outskirts are they? Do they even talk to their mama? Like, occasionally I will see pictures of them, but it with Mary, but I don't I'm it seems like they're kind of a lone wolf. So, I want to know more about that. Where is Leon? Where's Leon? Leon's like the Rob Kardashian of this show at this point. Like, where are you?
Got him tucked away way in the back.
And I have questions. I have a lot of questions.
I mean, you just know Christine, the monsters that Christine raised, Janelle's too, are over there like just slinging all types of transphobic stuff at Leon.
Oh, can you imagine what Paige
is? You just know it.
Please.
Like, that's another thing about Chris, like where I'm ready to take a break, because as like the kids grow up, Christine's older sons like genuinely scare me. Like, mm-hmm. I would hate to be caught in like a sundown town right. anywhere near me. I don't care that it's 2024.
I'm with you. I am with
like
you.
The older they get, they starting to get menacing. I don't see them as children anymore, and I'm having to like really like see them as men and reconcile what that means. And like, I also don't want to feel sorry for them.
Yeah, it's hard.
And it's hard not to.
It's definitely, definitely hard. Oh man, do you have any more thoughts? How long of a break do you think they should take?
At least a year. Okay. Let's just see what happens. I need to see what Robin and Cody do with themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that we are owed, because I was thinking about Beverly Hills and how Rinna really kind of put them in a place. Well, no, not even Rinna. We can actually go back to LVP, where there was like such a going after LVP. I'm like, okay, but when she leaves, where are the chips going to fall? How is this all going to work out? And I would like to see, like, yeah, now that Cody and Robin don't have anything to cry and bitch and complain about, where does your relationship really stand? Are you guys
fine? Also, what happens when they don't have Mary's money?
Hello. Because David Yurman's not cheap.
Like, I think a lot about how, like, I think they end up on Seeking Sister Wife.
And that might be.
And it'll literally be like to exploit some like girl from some like, you know, poorer country. Because really, let's be honest, like Robin wants the labor. She's looking for the free labor.
Fully. Ugh. Oh God. Okay. It's a challenging request, I will say. You guys have really been challenging me over these two episodes, but I respect you and your opinion. This would really put a dent in my pocket, so to speak. Sister Wives being gone. They are my most popular episodes, but I feel you.
Well, I feel like you would even get more popular because then you just have to go through the social media digging of what's going on.
Well, if I could, but I'm blocked by Janelle and Mary, so.
We just got to get you a burner. And that'll be your thing. Like, you will be the Seeking Sister Wife person of record. Like, no show. Everyone has to go to Caraberry to find out what's going on with the family.
I would love to be that. I would love to be the Ashley of Sister Wives. The Kara. Be the Kara. Well, thank you, Chai. I hope you have a great holiday and a happy new year.
Same to you. Thank you.
Hello, Kendrick.
Why, hello. I'm so excited to be here.
Woo-hoo. I'm so excited to have you. I adore you. I'm happy to have you here on this special. We'll talk about what we're leaving in 2023. So, Kendrick, hit me. Hit me, baby. What you got?
Oh, dear Lord. This one, when you messaged me, this was an easy one for me, an easy mm-hmm. one. The only reason Krishan gets to stay is because she's on Baddies. And, you know, I likes me some Zeus, okay? I won't lie. I likes me some Zeus. But Blueface and his mama got to go. We got to lead him in 2023. Don't pass go. Don't get a bus ticket, a train ticket. You can't come. I ain't got no room, sis. You can't sleep on my couch. None of that. Sorry.
I am so with you. I like refuse to talk about Blueface and Krishan and Jaden and all of them because they're just so right. cursed and dark. Yes. I don't even want to go there. Like, it's not even fun for me.
No.
To witness all of the depth of despair that's going on with all those, all three of y'all. I can't
take it. All three of y'all. It's too much. Like, the only thing I will give Jaden is that that little song she has out is addictive.
Listen, I won't lie. It's a hit. We don't need to get into it.
I know.
Like, oh, hey, it's so good.
I hate that I love it too. I'm like, God damn it. I wanted to.
It's a bop. It's really a bop. But yeah, I'm totally with you. Blue Philly's like, isn't he like about to go to prison for killing somebody? Like, why is he free? Why is this man free?
Right. I feel like there's a lot going on. Like, putting the babies like stuff online, like the genitals and all like that. I was like, it's first of all, I can think of like three offenses off the top of my head that should like get him at least a 5 to 10 year bid, like easy. Like, I don't know why you're running free. I just don't feel like this is okay, but who am I?
Right. He's so like, I just can't even compare him, Blueface, to anybody. And then I'm happy that Krishan has like kind of gotten out of the grip of his gnarled fingers, but not really.
Right.
But there was a time like over the summer and really like the first half of this year where I'm like, one of you guys is going to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Like, not even joking. I'm surprised
that
survived.
It's a lot. I literally, the first season I watched, have you dabbled in their show Crazy in Love at all?
I've seen clips.
Don't worry, you're not. It's a lot. It's a lot. Like, the first season, he punched her dad. Like, it was a lot of stuff going on. So the second season, I decided to opt out. I'm like, you know what? I can just get my Krishan fix on Baddies because she's ridiculous enough on there. Now her sister's in the fold. Like, that's good enough for me. Yeah. I don't need to see her interact with Blueface in any capacity. I'm okay on it.
Outside of a courtroom. No.
Hello? And then and what's even scarier is I don't know if I want her to have full cut. I'm like, okay, the baby is who I'm thinking about. When I saw that picture of her with the baby in Walmart or whatever they were, and that baby was... I thought the baby was about to do a back bend. I didn't know what was going on, but I was like, this a little much. Like, okay, Krishan, I'm trying to be on your side, but help me out now. Help me out.
Right. Like, y'all thought Michael Jackson dangling blanket off that balcony was something. This baby was like in a total like Cirque du Soleil free fall in that baby Bjorn. Like, what is going on?
Too much, Taquita. Too much. I can't handle it. Oh
yeah,
they're a mess.
Prayers up for Krishan Jr. The grandmama's really gonna have to be the baby on this one. I don't even know. No words.
Shout out to Jocelyn. No words. I just feel like if Jocelyn can take care of Bonnie Bella, Krishan, I know you can do it. You just got to. You got to, you know, get your mind right. I believe you can, okay? We rooting for you, sis. I'm rooting for you.
Right. If we could have, like, if we could end on a positive, like, what dream do you want to put in a wishing well for Krishan? Because Blueface is hopeless. We're done with him. What can we do for Krishan?
I'm trying to think of who would be a good example. See, I want her to, like, you know, she's trying to do music. Like, okay, girl. But, you know, she's trying to do music. Maybe I want her to like get in. Oh no, that's not a good example. I was about to say the Keisha Cole lane, but she divorced too. I want her to get in a lane where, you know, everybody needs their type of music that they like. Fine. I need you to get with a good producer. Do that so you can meet somebody above Blueface. It's gonna drive don't get me wrong, it's gonna drive him crazy the way that Future is driven crazy by Russell Wilson. It's gonna drive him crazy. But I would love that for me. I wanted to see him spiraling on the internet. I know she would love to see that. But just get her with a good, sensible man. You know what? Maybe just a dude from the streets that's a good stockbroker. You don't need nobody in the industry. Like, get you somebody like that. That'll be good for you.
Like when Fantasia found that man down at the T-Mobile. Like, that
yes. Yes. You better come on with the, can you hear me now? All on the States. I know that's right. Yes.
I feel you. You brought up Future. I was just thinking last night how I think about this a lot. Future did a whole Mother's Day post. Well, no. He tweeted to all his baby mamas on Mother's Day, and most of them got the like, you're so great. I love the way you take care of insert baby name here. And then he just did @Sierra. Appreciate you. And then he just moved on. Sir, you can't even try to pretend like you're a mature individual.
Right. Yeah. It's all right. Little Future Junior knows who Papa is, though. So
hello,
we ain't got to worry about Future too much.
And he didn't do March Madness. I'll tell you that much. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Now Liza Rain, all you girls, I don't know what y'all gonna do with that man, but figure it out.
Prayers out. Okay. No, I'm with you. I think Rashawn needs like a solid group of people. Uh-huh. In the industry and also outside of the industry who are like really going to get her to where she thinks that she wants to go. I don't really know
what
Krishan's specialties are. It's not behind the booth from what I've seen. Okay.
It's not, because the one song was like, okay, I'ma give you that one, okay? Because you know, on Zeus, they play your songs enough to where you'd be like, okay, maybe my head is bobbing a little bit. Maybe I'm bobbing a little bit.
Vibe sometimes.
Right. You know, when they play it on the radio though, you like, okay, no, it's not the same Zeus effect. So You know what I would like for her? I would like for her, like inside the industry, get her a group of girls, like, you know, that whole, like, the group of rap girlies. We got, like, Lotto, Flo Milli, like, all of them, like, hang out, Mona Leo. They all, like, hang out. They, like, real cool and support each other all the time. She needs a little clique like that. Now, it might not be, like, Lotto and those girls, but you can get, like, Sexy Red, you know, some girls like that. You can get them on your side and y'all just support one another. That'll be good. I like that.
Monica. If Monica could like take her under her wing as like an auntie, like I think Monica would really get through to her.
Oh my, hold on. First of all, RIP to Monica and C Murder's relationship that
apparently just
ended. Oh dear. You know what? Monica might need a little time to heal. Monica, we'll put that on 2024 for you. We're not gonna put that on your back this year.
Maybe in the springtime.
We'll right.
Circle back.
Cause you know she loved that man. That is her man.
Real bad. Real bad. Oh man. Yeah. Yeah, if we could get Carisha separated from Diddy and mm-hmm. you know, we could join something like that. I would like to see that.
Yes. Eat
Candy. Like, could Candy give her a call?
I mean, look, her cousin Akbar is doing songs with Nicki Minaj. So, I mean, anything is possible. Right. Candy, help Krishan out. Like, you know, you're a benevolent queen. Help the girls out. She needs it. You know.
Well, Kendra, this was an excellent, excellent choice. Because I've really, like, this has been on my heart. For like the better part of 2023. So thank you for letting me know.
Thank you. I needed an outlet to spew hatred towards Blueface, and I thank you for giving me that. Thank you very much.
Anytime. Happy New Year, happy holidays, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. I'm rebranding in 2024, so I need you to come on and gab the gab with me.
Little teaser there. Check the new pod out next year, y'all.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You guys, we got another one from Who Asked Me podcast. Giselle, hello, girl.
Hi.
Happy almost end of the year, going into the new year. We were just talking about how things are not well, bitch, but we're pushing along. We're pushing along.
Yeah, that we are. That we are.
So girl, share with everybody, what is it, the one thing in pop culture that you want to keep or leave in 2023?
what I want to leave in 2023 is reality stars weaponizing the press and Dumois against their coworkers.
Oh, hello.
I'm tired of it. I'm sick. Okay. You know, I'm a rewatch queen. And I just was having this conversation with somebody the other day. And I've been saying this, like, I miss the days of reality TV when we would go into the season and have no clue. One of my favorites was when that season of Vanderpump Rules, the Jax, Brittany, Faith season, when we all were like, new season of Vanderpump Rules tonight. And then Brittany gets on Instagram and posts that caption and tells us she's been trying to forget this day for the past year. And we're all like, excuse me? What do you mean? And thus, one of the most iconic and possibly, you know, detrimental to the cast.
Well, irrelevant.
Scandals happens.
incredible work. I remember the night that episode premiered and being like, oh my God, this is everything to me.
Shook. And it's just, I'm doing a Potomac rewatch now so I can like get to the bottom of things for everybody so we can stop tussling about it online.
Sure. And, thank you in advance.
I'm in season three and it's literally like, that is the first season that like the media becomes like an invisible cast member of Potomac.
Right.
And Robin Dixon, like looking, I thought she was ridiculous back then, but like watching it now, I'm like, oh, Robin. She is like so dead set because like fan pages, meme pages were really just kind of getting started then. And right. She is like so mad that she got made memed. Season two reunion and she's swearing it's Monique.
Right. And her fan page on Facebook. I think a lot of people don't know about Robin is that allegedly she's been like ear to the ground on these internet streets for quite a while.
She was a lipstick alley girl.
Fighting for her man Juan, you know, much like she's doing today, just fighting for her life and making up a lot of fairy tales and fallacies to justify their relationship. But so yeah, like and with her PR skills, whatever those might be, it's a real combination.
Yeah, and she is like convinced, and I like had that in my notes. I was like, well, anybody who doesn't know, Robin is a former Lipstick Alley girl, so like she and under aliases too. So
yeah,
you know, it makes sense that she thinks that. But I was just like, gosh, like before all of this, before, and you know, it's funny because Robin now to this day, I know for a fact, has like a few, you know, bloggers, Instagram, just people, fans of hers that she keeps in her pocket. So, you know, she keeps on speed dial. She'll let them know some things and they get on the internet and they fight for their life for her. So I find it interesting that she is, you know, watching that back because seeing where she is now and knowing where she was with Lipstick Alley. But I mean, I really just think that these shows that I love, I continue to love, it would just be so much better if we left Dumois and Page Six kind of. Page Six can do a little bit, but like, it's too much.
I'm wondering how much longer Dumois is even going to last since Tree Payne got right on Twitter and was like, no, bitch, listen, I don't know much about Taylor. And honestly, Dumois is kind of a blind spot for me. Like, I just dip a dab in there, but I don't really get too deep. Same with Reddit. But if you guys don't know, recently they had made a claim that Travis and Taylor were about to get engaged and she knew this for a fact. And then Taylor's publicist, PR person, whose name is Tree Payne.
Is that her government name?
I believe so.
Wow.
She was like, you're not going to be doing this. This is very damaging and like reckless. And like, we're going to take you down. So I'm not even sure how long Miss Girly, I hope she's got long money. And I hope that show is going to continue. I don't know with the writer's strike, but I wonder, like, you know, I have a feeling that there's a shelf life for outlets like that.
Yeah, I'm a little, like, I was just thinking of life pre-Dumois, and it was a lot just easier and better, I think, because, and I say, anybody who listens to my show knows that I don't dabble in Dumois just because, like, anybody can get on there and say anything. It's like, oh, blind item. And that's their whole thing. Like, they're like, this is, none of this is confirmed. This is just from a source, you know, that claims to, like, say something. And that's
I've seen
how they,
people do it. I've seen people enter in fully false information and then it gets posted on that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then at the same time, these PR, these publicist people have, these stars have kind of started using it to their advantage as well.
Right.
Because it makes no sense that, like, why does Dumois work with Aaron Litchie and her husband on the, with their Mezcal business?
Hello.
I saw that and I was like, okay, so Dumois compromised, right? Like,
exactly.
We're not going to see anything about Abe and his Grateful Dead concerts.
Right. You know?
And what he may or may not be doing at his jam band shows.
Yeah. That man,
you know,
is a whole married man and a DJ downtown. No. No. Yeah. Not without secrets. I know
exactly. It's funny that you bring up Taylor Swift because that was a close second. I was literally up until 30 minutes ago going back and forth it wasn't necessarily Taylor Swift. It was more so the stand-ups. Just because, like, I cannot deal with it anytime you say anything about Taylor and, like, her fans, her stands, I should say, not fans, because Taylor Swift does have a few songs I do like, but her stands are dense in the brain. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, she doesn't need PR. The PR is why you think she doesn't need PR, babes. Come on now.
Hello.
Come on. Tree Payne is that, and like that. I guess there's a whole like talk about Miranda Lambert being rude to fans or Carrie Underwood, one of the country girlies, and they're like, Taylor Swift would never. And I'm like, Taylor Swift has 10 bodyguards around her at all times. She don't live in Nashville. Like, y'all aren't getting to her the way I guess somebody just like approached Carrie Underwood wild, and she was like, yo, why? Right. Like, excuse you, you know, very normal human reaction. And I was like, you're never getting that close to Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taylor Swift can go to the grocery store. Like, she don't.
Fully.
And
fully.
I'm done with the fake feminism with her too. Like, you want me to feel so badly that Kim Kardashian put that edited video out and you had to run to a cottage.
I just feel I've been thinking about this too. I just feel like, why are we still talking about this? Like, I get it. But why are we still talking about this? I just feel like, personally, if my face was on the cover of Time magazine as a person of the year, my ass would not be talking about some dude from 5 years ago that y'all know I don't fuck with. Like, why are we still talking? I just don't know what she wants. And I'm seeing a lot of headlines of like, Kim Kardashian still hasn't apologized. Okay, I didn't expect her to. Is this a headline?
Did you see how she talks to her sister?
Like, hello.
Did you see how Courtney's makeup was on that wall? You think she's gonna apologize anytime soon to Taylor fucking Swift?
And there's the PR machine there. Like, Kim hasn't said anything. I'm like, first of all, this article just dropped. So what was she supposed to say in the hours since this came out? And we know she hasn't said anything in the years since this happened, because we would have known. I don't understand why. And like, Taylor, you won. Like, you versus Kanye? Girl, come on.
Like, he was a self-destructing ship himself. But like, my thing with Taylor and her fans are like, oh my God, she see a dip in the album sales because she hadn't put out an album. Like, if you don't put out new music, you're not going to have any current sales. You might have streams, right? And like, she isolated herself. I'm not going to argue on whether she had to do that or what and whatnot, because Kardashian fans are just as bad as Taylor Swift fans, you know what I mean? And just as bad as Nicki fans. But the point is, she went to that cottage, and which is privilege within itself, let's just point that out, and didn't make any music. She worked on new music. Like, hello, like, you guys are your arguments are terrible. But you expect me to feel bad for her on online bullying when y'all just got done literally just finished harassing Kayla, Travis's ex, just for simply being his ex.
Right. It doesn't make any sense to me.
The rules don't apply. The rules only apply to other people except for Taylor. And that's what I don't fuck with.
And really, Nicki, too. We can talk
about it. Oh, God,
I don't care to be bullied by any 14-year-olds right now. So we can have to move on. Like, I just don't care.
They were, like, threatening Crystal from the read. And Crystal was like, I don't fucking care. I was like, y'all have to stop.
It's weird.
It's weird.
It's very weird. But to go back to your Dumois situation, no, I'm with you, because I think the issue is, like you said, like example A with Aaron, once you have the ear of something like that, it's like, we're not playing on an equal playing field. Nothing's fair. You're protected, you're guarded, and like it's like so boring. It's so boring to me.
And my thing with Aaron is gonna continue to do a lot of shit that like people are gonna continue to dig in her ass. Aaron is like incapable. Did you see that thing about her getting asked a question at BravoCon?
No.
And like the TikToker Jordy Cray, he asked her at BravoCon because she went on, I think it was like one of the Chicks in the Office or something podcast.
Yes.
And she was like, I would never say that Pavitt was cheating on Jessel. If anything, I have different theories on what's going on there. Jordy Cray went to the BravoCon panel. He said you have different theories about what it is if it's not cheating. And he's like, I'm just asking, what are those theories? And she sits there and she's like, I never said that Pavitt cheated on Jessel. And he's like, correct. I'm asking you what you said you had other theories. What are those theories?
Right.
And she just literally goes into, I would never insinuate or say that Pavitt cheated on Jessel, which you did, Aaron. We saw it in 4K. You did say that. Okay. So shut the
summer jam screen. Mm-hmm.
Stop that. Okay. So then Jordy Cray sees her at like the VIP Bravo After Dark after party. And he goes up to her and he's like, hey, I'm Jordy. Like, I'm the one who asked you that question about the other theories that you never answered. And she goes, why? And he goes, excuse me? And she goes, why would you ask something like that? He said, because you said it.
It's wild.
And I'm like, Aaron, I need somebody who's like, going to be like, bitch, focus. You're not getting up until you answer this question.
Yeah.
What did you mean? Because at this point, you're just saying stuff.
Yeah, I agree. We have to hold our housewives accountable. We have to hold, like, Bravo Lubs, you guys have to film together. If you're getting a check, you're going have to have conversations. You're going to have to talk to people that you don't want to talk to or you aren't friends with and figure it out or not. Either way, you're going to have to film together. Okay. And we also need to hear like the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I don't want to know that you've got Radar Online or Us Magazine or Page Six or Dumont or any other gossip, we're just post whatever the fuck site. Like, it's so boring. And if that's what you want to do, then like, please don't come on the show.
No, literally. And I've been saying that like Bravo needs to, like, I don't know the legality or like if they can and cannot do that. I'm like, but they need to limit the conversations, the sharing, the communication with like Bravo fan pages. They really do, because it's just like, first of all, they look for anyone that like is going to back them and like trust and believe, even though 35 million of us may be saying this one thing and be correct. Two people are going to be like, we ride for him. Like, Leva's got fucking supporters. She's typing paragraphs on Instagram. I'm like, girl, shut the fuck up.
there's like, going to be a lid for every pot for sure.
Yeah. And I'm like, Bravo needs to like, but literally control how, like, kind of try and get a candle on these, you know, fan pages, kind of try and back them up, or even through the you know, through their talent, because I know Jersey has that real bad as well. I know for a fact some of the things, and I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, so many people really need to go outside.
yeah,
but this is really, yeah, I feel you, like, more on the side of like, we can't be laying in bed with people. Like, it's just boring. It's whack.
Well, yeah, and I feel like you get it. Like, I say this all the time. I'm like, I mean, yeah, I have some Bravo celebrities that follow me on like TikTok and stuff. I'm like, I'm still gonna say what I'm gonna say.
Yeah,
like I gotta give the honest review, because my loyalty is to my audience and not to them.
Right. Who,
you know, I'm not really breaking anybody's news, so all I do is fuck myself over by not saying how I really feel, and my platform, but it's not saying how I really feel to try and spare like a Bravo celebrity fan who I don't really know in real life. Like, right. I may like them on the show, I don't fucking know them. And like, it's like, listen, if you might get mad, yeah, I was waiting for Tamara to come into my DM for that OC season. When I saw she followed me, I was like,
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, from like just a natural standpoint, it's like, oh, if somebody is looking at you, then maybe you might soften the blow a little bit. But that just takes the air out of the tires, too. Like, you have to be fair to the situation if you want to be a good creator. And also, if you want that person to, like, stand in their truth and be honest and give you a real show. It's a mutual thing.
Exactly. And that's, the real shows are lacking, okay? We've got some diva attitudes. We've got some, it's just, because Heather, I'm going to tell you, Heather Gay, she better not ruin Salt Lake City.
She's on your list.
Oh, she, and it's sad because she was getting back on it. I was like, okay, I'm stepping back into my Heather fan era, and here she goes talking about, I cannot ever see myself recording with Monica again. Did she punch you? What are you talking about?
Right.
Like, what? No.
Right.
Please.
Yeah, no, I'm
for fucking
you.
Real.
And that's not gonna happen. Like, she can say that, but you're gonna be in that room with her. You will.
Yeah, don't be just saying stuff, okay? I don't do it.
You can get one. But I know she's going to be back on that screen with Monica because she wants to be on television. And Monica's going to be cast again. So think about that, babe. It's going to happen.
Well, even in the Potomac ladies, there's a lot. And you know what? I will say this. I think that, like, they need to force Robin and Candace to have a good old-fashioned Nene and Sheree sit down. Mm-hmm. They need to force that, like production does. I'm like, where's Eric? Where's Eric? I need Eric. Okay, get him on my fucking phone. They need to force them to have a sit down. And then Giselle and Candace, I'm not gonna be stupid and expect them to ever be like friends or anything again. But I think Karen Huger has a point when she says, Giselle, your whole demeanor changes when Candace is around, and what we can't have is that.
Right.
Like, you guys, it's clear there's nothing else. The lines have been crossed. Bridges have been torched, like, ablaze. Clear. But I think Candace can still be in the room with her and still be herself and still be like, okay, like, I'm just not going to talk to her. Giselle is like, for the safety of me and my children, right. shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Oh, man. Well, I think this was a great, great pick. I'm with you. I stand with you.
Thank you. I need it. So many people are like, I want to know what's going on. I'm like, but do you?
Questions that need answers. Girl, happy new year, happy holiday, and we'll catch up in 2024.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kara.
You're welcome. Bye.